You still quarantined because of coronavirus? Well, guess what? You fucking should be. Stay in your house. Until they tell you to go out, just stay there. Go to the supermarket, walk your dog, but then go back home and don't touch anyone or talk to them or anything at all. But you've got to fill the day, so here I am to talk a little something Yankees. So I'm joined today by Matt. Matt reached out, said he wanted to talk some Yankees. So, you know, if we're going to have something Yankees to talk about, what better way than to just dive in and introduce Matt. Matt, how's it going?
I'm good, JJ. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So you are quarantined in this New York 6th borough, Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yeah, the north side. Been quarantined.
Up there by Eli Manning.
Yeah. I live on the north side. He lived like a couple blocks away.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't think he moved recently. I don't think he lives there anymore.
Yeah, probably retired. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He was like, get the fuck out of here. Cool. You've been quarantined?
I have been, yeah. I work remotely, so it's like I work for a German video game developer. So I work remotely for the most part. So it's not a whole lot different, but it is weird not being able to like ride your bike, you know what I mean, and just do normal stuff, like just...
Yeah, you just look at people different.
Yeah, like, just we're paranoid, yeah.
When you go to like the supermarket, like, I feel like Rick Grimes. Like, yeah. It's just like Walking Dead. Like I'm ready to kick an old lady in the face.
Yeah, it's like, do I have it? Do they have it? Like, am I going to get it? Do I have it? I don't know about it. It's just, you kind of drive yourself crazy. It's just...
And you worry about getting other people sick.
Yeah, I know, and it's just like, we have a 10 o'clock curfew here. So I like I go for a run around 9 just to avoid people, and it's still very eerie, just like looking across the river, like not seeing cars, and it's just it's very strange, it's a different reality for sure.
Plus, if you go out at the end of the night, then you've got the curfew, then you're like you're in a race against something. You can pretend you're getting chased home.
Yeah,
you're running home from the virus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. So you reached out. Because you listen to George's Box, thank you very much.
Greatly
appreciate that.
Big time fan.
And if you don't listen to George's Box and you just heard about it, new episodes every Wednesday. Check it out. It's me and my co-host, Nick Kirby. We have a silly goose time. But what we're doing is these like 15, 20-minute, you know, kind of daily-ish things of, you know, just something Yankees to talk about. Let's get a conversation going. And Matt reached out. He wanted to talk about a couple what ifs.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm not a what if guy. Normally, you're like, oh, well, what if? And I'm just like, if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle. But she doesn't, so let's just deal with like winning this World Series. But right now, there's no World Series to win. So I'm down to entertain these and talk them out. I don't really know what they are. You mentioned like quickly, but like where do you want to start?
Yeah, so we're pretty much the same age. And
yeah, how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay.
So I've been a Yankee fan my entire life. And, you know, I've been reading Bob Clappish and Joel Sherman, you know, the beat reporters, you know, since high school. I'm from Bergen County.
Okay.
North Jersey. Yeah.
I think the last guy I had on yesterday was from Bergen County. I'm recording these back to back, but I'm a little high. I'm a little high, so I don't really remember what he said.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to smoke till sun goes down. Trying to keep a normal routine.
Very responsible. This is my garbage week. I ate half an ice cream cake last night. Like I'm recording this on Saturday. Yeah, just real piece of shit this week.
Yeah.
No, Monday, diet starts Monday.
Yeah, and I was playing Doom till like 5 o'clock in the morning last night, and I'm just there's no concept of time anymore, and it's just yeah, I guess the first one I remember being, I wonder what life would have been like then was Carlos Beltran, because I remember reading that he offered the Yankees a discount because he did not want to go to the Mets. I don't think it was like a huge discount, but he came to the Yankees and said, like, this is what the Mets are offering. I'll come cheaper.
That was like I'd rather be here than there.
Yeah. And I think it was, I don't know what year it was. I'm guessing it was 02, 03, somewhere around then, but I'm guessing Bernie was still on the team, so
they said it was about like a $19 million discount.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, total impact player, you know, five-tool superstar. So I guess they were still locked up with Bernie, and they probably had Sheffield and maybe A-Rod and Giambi. So I'm guessing it was just a financial thing, but that was like one of those that just like, what would life have been like for those 6-7 years if he was manning center field?
Huh. So, I mean, I think he gets a World Series. You know, I mean, you know, without having to be a cheating scumbag.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was the end of Bernie, but like not quite the end of Bernie.
Yeah, I think he had like a year or two left.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what are we talking about here? 2005.
Okay.
So it's like, it was the last year of his contract in 2005.
Yeah.
And you weren't quite going to bench him yet.
Yeah.
They let it be known like in August that they weren't going to pick up his $15 million option.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, looking back, like that's so early to announce. Like, yo, by the way,
see ya.
You're gone.
He had a similar exit to Posada, very acrimonious, like for a Yankee legend. Like, I remember they both had kind of bad breakups.
Well, Bernie kept wanting to play.
Yeah.
Bernie wanted to play, and, you know, he did a little bit of the, like, I could get more money, like, somewhere
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cashman doesn't give a shit.
No.
He said to Jeter, like, go do whatever you got to do.
He's ruthless.
Yeah. So, and, you know, he came back, ended up playing more in 2006 than we expected. And then he even tried to come back in, like, 2008, like, playing in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, going to play for the World Baseball Classic. So from a financial standpoint, though, like he was making a significant amount of money because he had a $15 million option. So to add another, if Beltran signed for 119 over 7 years, if he offered 7 years at 100, it's kind of weird that they didn't pick that up.
I know.
Now that I'm talking through it.
It's easy money, yeah. And he was, I don't know how old he was, but I'm sure he was 26, 27, something like that, prime.
And then,
and
like,
off that Astros thing, like, where he was hitting home runs every game in the playoffs. And
without Beltran, and if we got Beltran, then we never go out and get Damon.
No. No Bubba Crosby. Or maybe he's just a fifth outfielder.
Yeah. Huh.
Brett Gardner. I don't know what happens to him.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely impacts Gardner. Wow.
Yeah.
Those are kind of, I didn't know how this was going to go.
Yeah.
That's a weird what if.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. It's easy in hindsight, but it's like one that they probably should have pulled the trigger on.
I mean, yeah, does Gardner get any kind of shot at all? Does Beltran move to a corner outfield position? You know, do we keep? You know, does Beltran play out even that 7 years? Like, he didn't play it out with the Mets, but they obviously, you know, they're trying to cut money all the time because Beltran has, you know, he stayed productive.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about 2005, and he played for so long.
Yeah.
Huh.
Last year was 18, right? Or 17?
Yeah, 17. He cheated for a World Series.
Yeah.
Huh.
I guess no Granderson then, no Bobby Abreu. Who knows? I don't know. Like, maybe they were still on the team. Maybe Abreu was on the team. I'm not sure. But yeah, the whole outfield would have been different.
Huh. Well, if you're listening to this, tweet at George's Box Pod, and we'll probably have a tweet asking, like, what do you think happens if we sign Beltran in 05 for seven years, $100 million? There's probably something we're missing because, like, you could probably do a whole podcast, like, hour on each one of these if you, like, really flush it out. But, like, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm just here to get your conversation started so you have something Yankees to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else on that one?
I have some pitchers. Nothing on Beltran. I think that's all we could do on Beltran.
Okay.
But for pitchers, I think this is the same year. So, like you, I'm sure the 04 meltdown is, you know, one of your biggest heartbreaks.
It's the worst thing that's happened in my life, and I don't have any living grandparents, and my best friend is dead. So,
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I've said before, it was my first time. I had just gone to Drexel, and I had Red Sox fans in the dorm next door, like in the room next door to me. Had never even met one in real life. Didn't even know they existed. Thought it was just in movies and on TV.
Yeah. So I was at Fordham. That was my freshman year, 04. And a lot of Boston people go to Fordham. It's like a big Northeast school. But yeah, that's when it happened for me. So this was the year they kind of did not go after Andy Pettit as hard as they should have. That's when he went to the Astros in 04, I believe, right?
I believe so.
So 03 was his last year.
That
was
Yeah.
So there's a kind of two-parter. So, like, what if they give Andy respect and offer he deserves, and they're also were in the market for Schilling? So it's like, what is life like if they sign one or two of those guys? Like, is that another title in 04?
Yeah, I mean, so if you kind of look at the – so you kind of treat it in, like, two parts. Mm. So if they get Curt Schilling and we win a World Series at any point, I am forced to defend that piece of shit.
Yeah, I hate him. He actually blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, I blocked by him too. Welcome. I'm surprised I don't see you at the meetings. Of just
good club.
Yeah, it's a fucking sweet club. If we get him, yeah, I mean, I just don't ever want Curt Schilling. I just that no, I sucks. That's yeah. I just think he's the worst.
He's a horrible person. Yeah.
But then we don't have to face Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird because if we had Pettit, we're not dealing with, like, we still had El Duque that year.
Mussina.
We had Mussina. We had John Lieber out there winning games.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. I think John Lieber won 20 games one year. I don't know.
That
he did for the Yankees, but
I was at one of the playoff games, I think, when he pitched, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's just solid, like, dependable, and he's got one of those, like, pitcher names, like, just sounds like a pitcher.
Yeah, John Lieber's a good pitcher. Yeah, he's not. John Lieber doesn't hit 30 home runs.
No.
And, you know, obviously we had Moose, so it's like, from a rotation standpoint, like, we weren't that bad. I mean, Javier Vasquez is getting it, you know, he stinks.
Yeah.
So if you plug, like, a Pettit in there, you don't even know how that, like, impacts the rest of the season. But so, like, if you put Schilling in one of those spots and we don't have to face him, like, yeah, then we win. But also at the same time, if you put Pettit in there, good chance we win, because between, you know, it's kind of weird that El Duque starts game four and, you know, he's not involved in the decision.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just, like, he was so good in the playoffs. So you give me El Duque and Pettit in a rotation, like, that's three wins right there in a series.
Yeah.
So then you just need Mussina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think Curt Schilling is the bigger difference there.
Yeah, for sure.
If you get Curt Schilling on the New York Yankees in 2004, he eventually bankrupts Rhode Island and we have to defend it. But
yeah,
we win that. You know, we win the World Series.
And the Red Sox, where are the Red Sox now? You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a thing that I talk about all the time, and I'd be curious what people think, but, like, if the Red Sox don't win a World Series in 2004, like, do the other ones come? Because, like, they had been close so many times, and I think, like, you get over that hump of winning a World Series. There's obviously an influx of revenue, because fans and merchandise and all this stuff, and a pressure to continue to go that, you know, every team feels besides the Marlins when, you know, you win a World Series. So do they get there? I think they still probably eventually get one because they're in a major, like, Northeast city. Not really a major. It's more of a big town. But, I don't know what happens from that. Yeah, I think the interesting one, though, is Pettit. If you just have Pettit on that team, like,
just stabilizing. He's just like a calming force.
Yeah, like, you, oh, hey, we lost game four. We lost game five. We could lose game six. And then you throw Pettin in game seven and you still feel fine.
It's just steady.
Whereas, like, once it got to game seven, we were like, yeah, I think we all knew this isn't going to be this isn't going to be great. This isn't a great situation for us.
It's going to be a disaster.
Fucking Kevin Brown.
Yeah. The next one, I'm thinking, I skip forward to 2010. So we're in the offseason. And I think it's 2010 or 11, but I'm following, like you, I'm sure, John Heyman on Twitter, winter meetings, and he basically says Cliff Lee's a done deal. I think he says the tweet or like a hashtag is like two aces. So we have CC and Cliff Lee, and falls through and he goes to the Rangers. And I think they offered whatever they offered. It was like a super competitive offer, whatever Cashman offered, but like they went all in. And it's just like, we get Cliff Lee, we're probably winning in 2010 too. Who knows how many more?
Well, it's like in 2010, we were looking to trade for him.
Yeah.
Because we were going to send Jesus Montero, David Adams, and Zach McAllister. And yeah, it's just about done. Yeah. I mean, if you think about where the Yankees went from, like, in 2009, just in terms of going out there and just spending. Like, 2009, we bought the World Series, but that's fine.
Yeah,
everyone pays their players. No one's showing up and playing for free. You know what it was? The Mariners wanted Ivan Nova.
Okay.
Or Nunez. They wanted Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah.
As a possible future starting shortstop.
Yeah.
So when you look back, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
Shit. Fuck. Yeah, we should, because there was nothing. We didn't miss out on anything there.
No.
I mean, I think at that was a point when we were still all in. The Steinbrenner, like, ownership was changing in terms of who was in charge, who was calling the shots, because it did go from, it went from like George to like kind of Hank to like Hal. George didn't die till 2010. It was like once George died, Hank was out of the way for Hal to start doing it and running it more like a business. So there would have been probably another, like, a little bit more spending that went on, because it's like, if you're right there, if you get that second one, you gotta go for the third.
I read I don't know if you read the Mission 27, and to be honest, it's kind of bland. Like, it's not very, it's kind of surface level, not a lot of meat there, but there was just a lot of expectations after 09 and just not much after that. I mean, they went to the LCS a couple times, but still, like, they didn't cash in. You'd think after 09, I'm sure they were thinking, like, this is the start of, like, a new dynasty, and it wasn't. And I think Cliff Lee, like, I think they lost to the Rangers in 10, right? Like, Cliff Lee just destroyed them in the playoffs. And
Cliff Lee was just always a nightmare for us. You know, and it was, you know, we were trying to get him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really could have, for a lot of people, he's like the white whale that got away.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I know there are so many more of these we could do, but we don't want to have these go too long. So there's just one other thing that I wanted to talk about, because you had mentioned in your thing. Mm-hmm. You were at the Mr. November game.
I was. So I was a sophomore in high school. It's very, it's a crazy time, kind of like now. And my dad, through a friend, got great seats. And I don't really, to be honest, I don't really remember too much about it. But we were probably 10 or so rows from the field. And John Travolta sat in front of me. And And I remember he left before the comeback, and he did go on Letterman the next day, and he mispronounced Jeter's name. He called him Jitter. So I do remember that. But yeah, I just remember them hosting the flag, like the burnt flag from the World Trade Center. It was an emotional time. And it was the old stadium.
Did you talk to John?
Yeah, I did briefly. I remember I said, like, I really liked you in Swordfish and Face Off. I hadn't seen Pulp Fiction at the time. I didn't see Pulp Fiction until college.
That's awesome. I went to Lake Como this summer, and I was staying in the same town that George Clooney lives in.
Yeah, he's got a big house there, right?
Yeah, I rented an Airbnb that was like a stone's throw away. Like I went on the balcony, looking in his yard every day. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that on purpose. I just like picked it up. I was like, do you know what you did here? I was like, no.
Yeah.
So I had this whole plan that we were going to run into him. And we went on the 4th of July to this restaurant that he goes to a lot. Like I got tipped off. And the hope was like, maybe he'll be there. So we went, he was not there.
Yeah.
And we had to walk past his house coming back, and he was actually in the yard, and we heard him talking. So that was kind of cool. But my whole plan was to go up to his, go up to his table, and instead of saying anything to him, just going to his wife and say, excuse me, I just want to thank you for all you're doing for the world and all the fighting you're doing. Because my wife was probably going to say, like, we're bringing a daughter into the world and you're a great role model. And then I was going to turn and say to George Clooney, and I loved you as Booker on Roseanne. So kind of the same thing. Just like, you've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
Booker.
I know. I'm a big Green Day fan, and I was out to dinner once in like the West Village several years ago. And Billy Joe from Green Day was out with his wife and another couple, and I was out with my company for a company dinner. And you just can't like interrupt someone's dinner, but there was one moment I did not take the opportunity to do. Like, we had taken a group picture with like a company and the client we were with, and I could have asked Billy Joe to take the picture, and then I could have just said, what's up then? Like, because he's going to think, like, you go up to him, it's like, oh, you're going to want a picture? But, like, no, you're going to ask him to take our picture.
Yeah.
Like, the company. And then I could have had, like, a quick said, what's up? And
yeah, just treat him as, like, a normal person. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I still regret that one to this day.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's been, like, a joke on, like, sitcoms. So when, like, someone's kind of famous, like, hey, do you mind a picture? And they're just, like, they go to pose, but they're actually handing you the thing.
Yeah.
Probably happens on, like, This Is Us or, like, something like
sure
that.
It does. Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I hope we get to see some games this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to. If we all just kind of band together. And stay home. Don't go out and don't touch anyone. Don't get close to anyone.
Yeah.
But
what's your like best guesstimate for like a season to start?
I'm thinking like June.
Okay.
Or like like mid May. I think we could get mid May. We gotta see. We're getting more test results. We gotta see how it goes.
With fans or no fans?
I think we may start no fans first.
Okay. We'll see. a slow burn.
Yeah, well, I think the NBA will determine a lot of what's going to happen, because I think they have to go first.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see.
Man, well, I appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, man.